I am Herman Skolnick at Dr. Paul W. Morgan's home to interview him for the Palmer History Project of the Center for History of Chemistry. Today is March the 15th, 1986, and the time is just about 10 minutes to 2. Now, Dr. Morgan, you know that that after this is recorded and transcribed, we will send you a copy of the transcription for your approval and for any changes you wish to make.
Okay.
And of course, we will need your approval too, that for the Center for History Chemistry to retain it as an archive record, and also for the transcription. And I might even, as your friend here said, they might even put into a book form eventually. I hope they do, because I think it's a very, very worthwhile project.
I would think so. Well, I agree with that.
Want to make sure these are moving. Yeah, I'm just checking the tape to see they are moving. I better check this one too. Yep. Okay, we're on the air. Now, I would like to have first your date of birth.
It's August 30th, 1911.
And where?
In West Chesterfield, New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah. Hmm.
And did you live there through your high school?
No. My family moved to Maine when I was seven.
What part of Maine?
Along the coast at Thomaston. Mm-hmm. And they went there to work at the shipyards, and that's where my mother had been born. I grew up there at Thomaston, Maine, and went to high school.
What did your father do?
Well, he at that time, in the beginning, he worked in the shipyards. And
What kind of work in the shipyards?
He was a carpenter.
Oh.
He'd been working in sawmills and carpentry work in New Hampshire.
Did you live in towns, or did you live in the villages or in the farm?
Yeah, it was in a small village of about 2,000 people.
You're a heck like I am.
Yes.
Didn't you think Wilmington is an awfully big town?
Well, it was pretty big, but not as big as town.
It was for me. Well, obviously, then when you went to Columbus, Ohio,
that was a lot bigger.
You really got lost there, didn't you?
Yes.
How about your mother? What was she in any profession or anything?
She had been a school teacher. In fact, they had both been school teachers.
Oh, your father was a school teacher.
Earlier time, yeah.
And before he was a carpenter?
Yes.
He became a carpenter to earn more money, huh?
I guess so. Yeah, he started out. My grandfather, on my father's side, was a minister, a pastor.
What denomination?
I guess it's Universalist. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
that. That sounds about right for that part of the country.
Yeah.
Especially if you're from Massachusetts, anyway, Boston area.
And my father went 1 year to college at St. Lawrence University in New York, thinking that he might be a minister too, but then he changed his mind.
Yeah, back those days, 1 year of college qualified you to teach in the
Oh, yes. System, you could teach without even any...
Any college at all, yeah.
Background at all.
Did your mother go to any college? Or she
went to Gorham Normal School, yes.
It was a two-year curriculum back then, I guess.
So. Yes.
Just like Westchester used to be until recently.
Right.
Not recently, until about 1930-something.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you have both parents who were immersed in the educational field. Even though your father went into the carpenter business, because he was a carpenter, did he put hammers and saws and screwdrivers in your hand when you were about 4, 5, 6 years old?
Yes, I got to use tools a lot. And,
so you're a good carpenter too, then?
Yes, I guess I am. I've done a lot of that. I've done a lot of woodworking.
You think that sort of primed the pump for you to go into science? In fact, you were mechanical very early in life through your father.
Well, that was one facet of it. Through my father again, and my mother got interested in nature subjects and was active as a collector of minerals and butterflies and things of that sort. Had a little museum.
This was from the time you were a child. I mean, like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old.
In the time of high school times, I was in the Boy Scouts.
Did you become an Eagle Scout?
No, I didn't. My brother did, but I didn't.
How far did you get?
I got up to star.
Wow.
I got.
That was the first step of first class.
I got 29 merit badges, but I wasn't much of an athlete. And
swimming stopped you.
Not swimming, but life saving.
Oh, the life saving stuff. Didn't you have to do some life saving for the first class? Was that just swimming?
You had to do swimming, but you didn't have to do
no life saving.
No.
Yeah, but the merit badge did require quite a bit of skill in life saving. Yeah.
You also had to get another merit badge in physical fitness, which required you to train another boy for 3 months. The requirements were quite a bit tougher then.
That one I don't remember. Now I was an Eagle All Palm. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say I was Eagle All Palm. It was one I didn't.
You might have gotten athletics, which was another one.
Yeah, I was an athlete in high school and college.
Yeah.
Why were you non-athletic? Was it because you were a bookworm, or because you were small and thin and lightweight?
I was a little on the heavy side.
You were.
I was heavier than I am now.
I'll be darned. You mean when you graduated high school, you were heavier than you are now?
Yeah. I was up to 160 or something like that.
Hmm. So what are you now, 140?
147.
You're about 6 feet tall, aren't you?
I'm 5 foot 10.
That's a good weight for you. You keep that weight.
Yeah. Yeah, the doctor recommends that.
Yeah.
He doesn't complain.
Now, outside of the nature part, how else did your parents influence you towards science or towards intellectual life?
In many ways, again, my father he was a real student. He knew Greek and Latin, and he taught me Latin before I went into high school. We had an unabridged Webster's dictionary, which had been given to him, and we had a microscope. So I got lots of encouragement.
That's terrific for that period of our
history. That period of time, yeah.
I never heard of a microscope until I think college.
So we had those things, and I built a little lab in the barn and bought chemicals to analyze minerals with. And in high school,
this is before you took chemistry in high school. You were analyzing the minerals.
Well, yes, I was making tests for. To identify them.
You can see if they're carbon.
Low pipe analysis and things like that.
Oh, you're actually doing that too, huh?
Yeah.
And you knew about the colors of the flames and the.
Yeah, I am.
For things like chromium and so forth.
Yeah. And in fact, I took a course in mineralogy at the University of Maine, and I probably knew more about mineralogy than the instructor at that time, but I still learned a lot.
I guess your parents rather encouraged you to read a lot, too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And what sort of books were they?
Another area that we got into was working puzzles. My father liked to work word puzzles and mathematical puzzles.
You mean like crossword puzzles?
We did some crossword puzzles.
Cryptograms, too.
But we did all kinds of these acrostics and then simple mathematical problems that required algebra and so on. This sort of thing made you search the dictionary for words, and so you got a lot of learning that way. My father got interested in radio, and we built a crystal set, and later on a one-tube set.
Well, that would be in the 1920s. You talk about the crystal set.
These are the first. We put up our own area.
You lived in New Hampshire, you lived in Maine then. Could the crystal set bring in the station in Boston?
Yes, we could get Boston, and we could get
KYW,
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, KYW.
Those are the strong stations. Yeah, and we got Montreal too.
Oh, that's right. I forget. Yeah, we were close to Montreal. Yes. Yeah.
So,
of course, this would be on clear days only, though.
Right, at the right time.
What's the right weather?
No, and
actually,
all
back in the '20s, you put up a real, real long antenna, didn't you? Like 100 feet long or so.
That's right, that's what we had. We went up in the woods and got a spruce pole and put an antenna up.
Of course, you had to use earphones before the days of loudspeaker. And did you use the Pentamark for your resistor, for your crystal set?
I don't remember that we did, no.
Well, you couldn't buy resistors back there in the early 20s,
I don't know whether we had something made out of wire or
I may have made out of a pencil mark.
I see.
You had to experiment a lot until you had the right resistance, of course.
Yeah, okay.
You remember any books you read as you were in junior high school or high school? Was it mostly in the science area? Or was it mostly
A lot of them were in the science area. I read quite broadly. I wore the library out. We didn't have much money to buy books.
Even though it didn't cost a dollar a piece those days.
In fact, one Christmas I got, the only present I got was Gray's Manual of Botany.
Oh boy.
But that was way beyond my ability to understand.
Well, wouldn't have to be more memory than understanding.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And that's just not the earmark of the medical profession, memorization rather than understanding.
That helps. But we did have bird books, and I borrowed books from the library on electricity and mineralogy. And
did you experiment with electrical things too?
Played with simple things.
You didn't rewire your house or anything like that, did you?
No, we didn't have any electrical. We had kerosene lamps. But we had electrical circuits out in the barn, which were made up of scrap. We used to go to the dump, dump, and collect old wire and batteries from automobiles.
Oh, so you generate your own electricity?
Yeah.
And it was all DC? Was it all DC, or did you?
We had
you put up a generator.
The magnetos out of Ford automobiles and things like that. Telephone company dumped stuff on the dump too, and we picked that up. So we got little light bulbs and sockets and all kinds of stuff.
Hmm.
It was fun to play with.
And you went to high school, you took biology first and then chemistry and physics, I assume.
They didn't have any biology. They had 1 year in chemistry and 1 year in physics.
And chemistry was first. Physics was first back those days, I think, wasn't it?
I think.
Yeah, physics was first.
Well, it was in alternate years, so they didn't. So I think I took chemistry first, and then physics after. And there was a school of about 300-400 students.
This is the high school you're talking about?
This is the high school,
and a total of 300 students in that high school?
Yeah, there were about 300 students in the whole high school.
So there were about 75 in your graduating class then, huh?
Well, it didn't get that big. It was, maybe I'm exaggerating the size of the school. It's freshman, I must be. The freshman class started at 36 when I was in it, and it ended up at 19. So
we're 19 in graduating class then.
So the school must have been only 100 Yeah, it's about half what I'm saying. 150, probably.
What was your position when you graduated? Were you valedictorian?
I was valedictorian. I was president of the class.
I was going to bet on that.
Well, I was going to tell you one other thing. Is because they didn't have enough chemical supplies, a lot of the experiments were done by demonstration. And another fellow and I were lucky to get the privilege of preparing the experiments and doing the demonstration.
Hmm.
And so I got extra experience that way.
So actually, who influenced who most? You, the teacher, or the teacher, you, in high school?
Right.
Was the teacher capable of teaching chemistry?
Well, at least the simple stuff.
He was not well educated in chemistry.
The teacher, I think he knew it, but he was the principal of the school actually, and he was teaching math and science, and athletics. So he was doing all of these things.
Well, what part of athletics? You mean like football, soccer?
Yeah, he was the coach for
all sports,
everything. Oh. The women's and boys teams and
but the girls,
baseball.
Only thing the girls had was the field hockey, I guess, wasn't it?
The girls had basketball. I don't think we didn't have any field hockey.
Oh.
We didn't have any swimming either because there was no swimming pool. Mostly it was baseball and basketball.
And track a bit.
And, yeah.
Were you on the track team?
I didn't go out to this side of thing. I was a manager of the baseball team 1 year. And
what year was
that's
that?
About the extent of my athletic.
Was that in your freshman year, your junior year, your senior year?
That was my senior year.
No. And I suspected you were drafted for that job, huh?
Yes, pretty much.
Did you have a school paper?
They had class paper,
for the seniors
publication, but they didn't have a weekly paper or anything, or a monthly paper, anything like that.
No, for the class paper, did you do writing for that?
Some, yes. I wrote some horrible fiction and
that sort of stuff.
Kind of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Others did the reporting kind of thing.
And how about you have brothers or sisters?
I had one brother. He became a chemist too.
Is he older or younger than you?
He's 2 years younger.
So you influenced him evidently towards chemistry.
I think so. He was an athlete and he was on the baseball team and he became an Eagle Scout. So he was rather different in some ways than I, but we were very good friends and got along well. And
now, he did not go to DuPont though as a chemist. What happened to him as a chemist?
He got his BS with me at the University of Maine, and then he later got an MS at Brooklyn Polytech. And he had gone to work for American Cyanamid as a chemist.
At Stanford, not at Brownford.
Yeah. And he was there for 15 years, and then later became chief chemist for a plant that the Inmont, in National, well, it became Inmont.
And that's I-N-M-O-N-T, Inmont.
I-N-M-O-N-T, yeah. Right. They had a fabric coating plant up in Winthrop, Maine, and he transferred up there as a chief chemist.
So he really ended up as a development chemist, really.
Yeah,
almost like an engineer, right?
Yes, he did that, and he traveled. He was sort of tech service, and traveled around as sort of salesman, tech service, and chief chemist at the plant. And,
he could do everything, huh?
Yeah,
he did everything except research, huh? He did some of that too, I guess.
Well, he did research at Cyanamid, but he didn't.
Has he published anything?
He had several publications, and he had about a dozen patents. He died a year or so ago, a couple years ago. It's one of those unfortunate things that he got exposed to the chemicals before OSHA
and EPA.
Yeah, and EPA. So that he got liver damage from things like tetrahydrofuran, methyl ethyl ketone, and vinyl chloride, and all those horrible things that they allowed to get out into the plants.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know science was your favorite subject in high school. Were there other favorite subjects in high school? What did you enjoy?
Well, I enjoyed school in general.
Everything you took, you enjoyed.
Yes, I enjoyed the English. I had 3 years of French, which I enjoyed. Never really got expert, but...
Well, you were expert reading French, but not talking French.
Yes, that's right, mostly.
That's true for most of us chemists.
Yeah, that's... I think that's generally true of chemists, unless they get to go abroad.
It never helped me any going abroad.
No, it didn't.
I still speak it, but not the way French like to hear it.
No, that's true. I've always had that trouble, too.
My worst experience was always in Quebec City. Mm-hmm. They speak a different French than the French do in France.
Sure. Yeah. And sometimes the French don't want to talk to you either. They purposely make it difficult.
And did you study German in high school or college?
I did that in college.
2 years?
I had two years and a half. I guess I had 2 years of regular German and a half year of technical German. And again, I mostly reading type. And although I joined a German club that put on little plays and things like that. Not especially good at it.
So actually there was nothing in school that you disliked then except athletics.
I guess all I don't know that I disliked athletics other than that I wasn't interested in it. I suppose that because I in the scouts I was doing lots of hiking and bicycle riding, took long trips, camping. Things of that sort.
So you passed the camping merit badge, huh?
Oh, yes. Right.
50 nights camping, yeah.
50 nights of camping. I did the hiking merit badge, which required 3 months of walking. So
now, why did you choose University of Maine for your undergraduate work?
Well,
was that influenced by your teachers at
No, that has a little bit of a roundabout story. As I've said, we didn't have much money, and there was a scholarship available in the town to go to Harvard, which was about $900, I think it was. And it was supposed to pay your tuition plus other contributions plus some other expenses.
With having two room and board, too. $900 back then.
Oh, that was a lot of money.
That was tuition, room, and board, yes.
It was several hundred dollars for tuition, I think.
But then your clothes is on you, and also travel expenses is on you.
Yeah.
They've been very expensive.
But I had relatives up in Massachusetts, which was in help. But I didn't, I applied for this and got approval with the exception that I had to share it with one other student who was already at Harvard.
Oh, that would have been $450.
That meant cutting it in half.
That would have been very expensive for you, yes.
Yeah, so I couldn't manage. And
now your scholarship in Maine, did that include tuition or tuition, room, and board?
At Maine, I didn't have any...
I had it was a state university under the land grant.
Yes, that's right. And tuition was quite low.
Well, still must have cost you between $400 and $500 a year, though.
I eventually went there, and I chose chemistry as curriculum, and it cost me about Well, an average of $500 a year to actually go to Maine for 4 years. In fact, it ended up a little less than that because of a number of things. The first year I stayed in the dormitory. The second year I boarded myself with another student in a small cabin where we did our own cooking and washing and all that. And then I stayed out 2 years. Well, I should say, after high school, I stayed out 1 year, too, and worked.
So you accumulated some money that 1 year?
Yeah, so I was collecting money.
And what was the highest salary you earned that year? $25 a week? $15 a week?
Oh, I didn't even get that. I was getting $10, $12 a week.
Well, $25 back then was very, very high wages. Yes, I know. You and I are within 2 years of each other. You're 2 years older than I am. No, 3 years. You're 3 years older than I am. Yeah.
So I managed to save up enough money to get through those first 2 years. And then my brother and I had agreed that we would, he was 2 years behind me, we would work 2 years and support the other. I would stay out 2 years and support him, which I did. Make contributions towards his going to school. And then by the end of that year, his second year, my mother died in that period. And she had had a little bit of money.
This would be what, about 1930, 1933?
Yeah, she died about 1935.
Oh, 35. You were still in college then, yes.
34. Yeah. And she had several hundred dollars in stocks that we sort of set aside, and we inherited that.
And you remember what the stock was?
AT&T.
Good one. You should have held on to it.
I know. But we needed it. Probably would have better to invest it.
See, that's, I guess, about those days, what was 32. It must have been worth about $15 a share back then.
It wasn't a lot.
Maybe $20.
I lost money in the bank. I had $33 left in my bank account, and the bank's closed down, which I lost. Eventually got back a few dollars on it.
Yeah, that was in 32. Yeah. 32 is the bank holiday, or 33, I forget.
33.
And I forget, was it still under Hoover or under FDR when the banks closed? So.
Well,
I remember it very vividly. How many people got hurt?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in that 2 years, I was working in the A&P 70 hours a week for $10 a week. And other people were out
70 hours for $10.
Yeah. But other people were working in WPA for half a week and getting about the same amount. And wish they were inside like I was.
No, I think the highest you can get in WPA was $15, wasn't it?
For
a 40-hour week.
Yeah. It could have been. I don't know. They were getting about the same, maybe not even as much as I was getting.
Did they have NYA at Maine when you were there?
Yes, they did.
Because there you can earn $15 a month. Did you work under NYA?
I didn't work on that. I had a job working in the chemical storeroom.
Oh.
And I don't remember just how much that paid.
But that also paid your lab fee, didn't it?
Well, that paid my lab fees.
And that which was worth
a little bit of extra money, too. And plus a lot of experience, because I got to make all the solutions and know all sorts of stuff like that, and apparatus.
And that includes a cleaning solution, too.
Yeah, cleaning solution and nitric acid and
which you had to be careful
all
not to
the
spill
other
your clothes.
Mixing it up in 12-liter flasks and stuff like that. Yeah, that was a good experience. And so my brother and I went back to school, built our own cottage, bought a piece of land for $75, built our own cottage with my father's help, and lived in that for 2 more years, and graduated together.
Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? You learned to be a carpenter, huh?
Yeah. And a cook.
and a cook. Now, how about the chemistry teachers and the chemistry professors at the University of Maine? They must have had some influence on you.
They did.
And who were
well,
they?
Well, the organic chemistry wasn't that great. It was good. There was a very enthusiastic organic chemist named Gilliland.
Gilliland, that's a good name. It was Gilliland out on MIT, and not the same person, is it?
No, no,
yeah, not the
different
same
guy.
Yeah.
Well, I did all the things that were done at that time. I did lots of analytical work, all the wet chemistry that people do and don't do anymore, and no instruments.
That's all we had back those days, wet chemistry.
Yeah, that's right. We fertilizers and ores and all kinds of mineral things.
Well,
and
limestone was the toughest thing.
Yeah.
Especially during the sodium potassium.
Right.
And the silica, that taught us patience back those days, doing the silica.
Yeah.
And the R203, remember that?
Right. Well, when we were about to graduate that last year, the people came around interviewing.
This is for industrial jobs.
For industrial jobs, yeah. And my brother took this job with American Cyanamid. I interviewed two, but I told people I wanted to do research, and they told me, well, with a BS, you don't have much chance to do research, and you probably ought to get an advanced degree. So I talked with the professors, and they agreed to support me if I made applications to schools, and I did that.
Was there one professor in particular who was the most benefit to you?
Well, I think he was. There was the head of the department was named Colin Bartlett.
Say that name again.
B-R-A-U-T-L-E-C-H-T, Bartlett.
I don't know.
He was an inorganic physical type chemist, but he was very enthusiastic about the idea of doing advanced study, and then this Gilliland, who was an organic chemist, was also interested, and so they wrote letters of recommendation. And I got several chances and picked Ohio State.
Did you write to the universities, or the professors write to the universities?
I wrote myself. I went to the library and looked up the addresses.
Well, why did you decide on Ohio State instead of, say, Harvard? Did you apply at Harvard?
I don't think I tried Harvard. I tried about 15 schools ago. I got positive answers from Iowa State and Penn State and Ohio State. I honestly don't know why I chose Ohio State.
Particularly since Whitmore was at...
Whitmore was at Penn State.
And that was a terrific name back then.
And whether it had to do with something I knew about the professors or something that somebody in the staff at Maine had said to me, I don't know. Hounshell asked me that same question, and I don't know the answer. So, but I did. I picked Ohio State. And
it was not a matter of tossing a coin heads or tails, it'd be Penn State or Ohio State or Iowa State, huh?
I don't.
Was it the University of Iowa or Iowa State? Probably the University of Iowa, I guess.
I don't remember.
Was it where Gilman was?
Hmm?
Was it where Gilman was?
Gilman was at Ohio State. Yeah.
He was at Iowa.
Iowa. That's right.
Did you
Evans and Broad and Ward and people like that were at Ohio State, and Whitmore was at Penn State.
Now, there was no question about you were going to go to graduate school for organic and not for physical chemistry, or not for inorganic chemistry, not for analytical chemistry.
I decided by then I wanted to do organic, and I think the reason was that there was a lot of interest in vitamins and things of that sort about that time. It was sort of a glamorous time, some of it was a little bit before that, but...
But then you had a leaning towards the natural product side.
Natural products, I think, yes.
And also maybe, did you have any leanings towards the medicinal or pharmaceutical side?
Well, I was interested in medicinal things. I remember I got a book from Gauntlet. Gave me a book on chemistry and medicine. It wasn't a very good book, but it was a book that I read, and so it had some influence.
You know what? There still is not a good book on that subject. There still is not a good book on that subject, chemistry and medicine.
No. I don't know if there is a good book.
I don't know of any.
But I had read other things like Paul de Kruth's book on microbe hunters and Iron Men and all that. And so some of those things had influence. The organic chemistry at Maine was there wasn't very much, and so I hadn't really learned a lot there.
It was pretty weak on the mechanistic side of organic chemistry, I guess.
Gilliland was interested in he was interested in Grignard reagents and zinc alkyls.
I'm really surprised that he didn't go to Penn State.
I know.
Because Whitmore was a great one on Grignard reagents.
Yeah, he was.
He worked out the mechanism beautifully on that. So.
Back to Gilliland was also interested in sodium hydrides and things like that. And in fact, I tried to make that sort of thing for him, but didn't succeed very well.
Sort of dangerous too, wasn't it?
It was really dangerous, and I scared everybody in the laboratory because we did it out on the open bench.
not in a hood. Did you have hoods?
Hoods, but they weren't much good.
Particularly not in the in general chemistry. We used the hydrogen sulfide.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm surprised that many of us lived through that course. Because the amount of hydrogen sulfide in the atmosphere is way beyond the hazardous limit.
Well, people passed out from it once in a while.
Was there anything in college you didn't like, any courses you took? Was there any course in college that you took that you did not like?
I took a course in business law. The economics course. I didn't do very well, and I suppose maybe that's why I didn't like it. That's why I didn't do well. It required quite a bit of memory, and it didn't seem to have much. It was beyond what I was interested in at the time. I did fairly well in mathematics up through calculus.
Did you take differential?
But I tried a course of differential equations, and I didn't really finish it for credit.
Oh.
And that was about as far as I got.
Did you use the Korn book for differential equations?
I don't remember the author.
Real thin book.
There was a little thin book.
She was a mathematics professor at Johns Hopkins.
I see.
That's the one I had at Penn State.
Yeah.
That was a perfect little book. Anyway, I'm sorry. It was Mrs. Korn who taught me the course. Her brother wrote the course. I forget his first name. She was the teacher I had then. Now, Maine was a land-grant college. That means that you took ROTC.
I took ROTC for 2 years.
How'd you feel about that?
It was something to do.
Did you enjoy it, or did you find it distasteful?
I kind of enjoyed it. It has a kind of a discipline, and I didn't mind that.
How'd you do in marksmanship?
Very good, because I'd already gotten a marksmanship merit badge in the Scouts. And I had a rifle of my own and enjoyed that.
And you had a 22 probably then.
You had a 22, that's right. And the rifles that they had, although they were heavier, had 22 barrels on them.
Yeah, we did too at Penn State.
And I had to take the regular PT, phys ed programs, which I did for a while, and then I also did fencing, which was a kind of an interesting thing to do too.
So courses like physics and physical chemistry really did not bite you like chemistry did.
Physical chemistry was okay. I didn't.
You used Gutman Daniels back those days.
I did all right on that, and but I guess it didn't send me.
Not like organic chemistry.
Like maybe. Organic.
I'm surprised you didn't go for analytical, since you did so much work in the storeroom.
Well,
and also
yeah, I liked work. Analytical, and I did. You know, those were long lab periods. You had to work Saturdays and to get in enough time and get your analyses done. But I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It must be completely different today, don't you think? All the instruments.
Yes, it's hard to imagine what it's like today with all the instruments that you can have.
Don't you think analytical chemistry really taught us chemistry? The wet chemistry really taught us chemistry that you do not get with instruments?
I feel it was important. It was a kind of a discipline that made you do things carefully and properly.
And also retouched the chemicals, too.
Yeah, and you knew what the chemicals were and what they looked like and what they were made of. Yeah.
And what they smelled like.
It was very important, and I'm a little concerned that, although I'm not acquainted enough with college courses today, that people are so far from chemistry they won't know what chemicals are like. Mm-hmm. And because that turns up in some of these stories that you see in magazines once in a while. I think that's why this program you have in the schools is good, because students get a chance to see chemicals and work with them.
Every chemical I bring into the classroom, I take out of the kitchen.
Yeah, well, that's true. You have to be safe.
Well, not only that, it's chemicals they know, like baking soda,
which
vinegar,
they understand, yeah.
Lemon juice.
Sure.
So then I give them litmus paper, and then they go home and they redo all the experiments again.
Yeah.
With their parents. And I think they're teaching their parents something too.
Yes.
What's an acid and what's a base. When you went to Ohio State, now, of course, when the first year you were there, you had an assistantship?
I had an assistantship, yeah. That was the basis for going to any of these places, was to get an assistantship.
And that paid you about $500 or $750 a year?
$450.
$450 then. Yeah, it was very. Yeah, that's right. You had to have a scholarship to get up to $750, and that's like a fellowship, like a DuPont fellowship or something like that. Yeah.
The next grade up in the assistantship program was $750, I think. I didn't get that.
Your assistantship was in analytical or inorganic or in general or what?
It was in general chemistry. We taught the freshman students. And we had both, in the beginning we had lab classes, but later on we had quiz classes too. And of course, Ohio State was a big school with lots of pre-med students and nurses and all the general students taking the first year of chemistry.
And even the metallurgists took 1 year of chemistry, I think, didn't they?
Yeah.
Engineers,
large
mechanical engineers, electrical engineers.
All the engineers were required to take basic chemistry.
So your lab courses had least 100 or 200 people in them, huh?
Oh, very large.
And there were three or four or five of the people like you monitoring the experiments. Now, when did you have to choose your professor at Ohio State?
The second year. During the first year, you went around and interviewed the different professors to see what programs they had and whether they would take on students or not. And so I did that. I talked with all the organic professors, and they were William Lloyd Evans and Wallace Broad. He was in spectroscopy, and Ward was in hydrocarbons, and Wolfram was in carbohydrates also, along with Evans.
Didn't Ward also do some work in the cellulosics and the carbohydrates still?
Not at the time I was.
Oh, not when you were done.
No. Broad was working on dyes and dye structures.
Is it more like a physical chemist or more like
he was a physical chemist. And he was actually working on a UV spectrometer before Carey came out. And he had this student working this out on a big table. I did experiments in that area where you did one wavelength, one thing at a time. But they were working on a machine that would do the whole scan. And then Hennig was there. Hennig was working on fluorocarbons.
Didn't he go to DuPont, Hennig?
Or was he the consultant at DuPont? You may have seen him in Delaware.
I don't know whether he did or not.
That's H-E-N-N-Y. And you're talking about
H-E-N-N-E.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. H-E-N-N-E, yes. Yeah.
And Newman was starting. He became one of the outstanding organic chemists. He was just starting as an instructor. And so he was working on straight organic chemistry, synthesis and mechanisms.
And continue that way.
And it continues.